Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Tagging this on as number 5, even though it's a few months back. So let's go. You can go ahead and start that if you haven't started the recording. It's shifting unanswered to answered prayers. Who wants unanswered prayers? Discourage us. Anybody in the room? Unanswered prayers sometimes can give us this delay, things that are delayed, and they can have an effect on us that's like, why isn't it answered? Why hasn't it come to pass? And it can actually it can have a weight on us that we weren't designed to carry. And so I want to just ask, you know, when we're praying, number one is, you know, who are we asking? Who are we asking to answer our prayers? Because Jesus, we could see in Luke 18, and he talks about, you know, we come to God as Father, we come to him as friend, and we come to him as judge. And I talked about this. Father, we come to him as Father probably 90% of my prayers and your prayers are coming as a father. And you're saying, Father God, I hope you're coming to him as Father, because that's the way you come. You're a child. You know who your identity is, and you say you're a good father, and I'm coming to you in this context. Sometimes we come as friend. Jesus said, I call you friend because I reveal all things to you. Sometimes I come in context to friend, and a lot of times I come in context to friend, and a lot of times that's in context to revelation. So when we're co-laborers with him, we're saying, what are you doing? Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. And likewise, we look to see revelation, what the Father's doing, so we can do what he's doing. We're in line to get carne asada burritos, and God starts to say something to us about the person in front of us. You're a co-laborer now getting revelation. You're as a friend. You're saying, I want to do what you're doing right now, and I'm going to step up. And you ask somebody, hey, is your name so-and-so? Is this your birthday? Whatever, you're getting revelation, or you're asking for revelation for some situation. That's really approaching him in that context where Jesus said, as I call you friend, and in all things, because I reveal all things to you. So there's revelation in that, but still that's a smaller percentage of our prayer life. And the next one is we come to him as a judge. And that's what I wanted to talk about. But I feel like God said, don't preach about the judge. And I thought, that kind of disappointed me. And now I know why. He's a good father. So we need to come to him as a father. We need to come to him as a close God, not a distant God. And I just wanted to say, let's just take it for an example. I want to talk about the courts of heaven today. But if your little girl wanted some food, would she be like, Mom, I'm going to Vista Courthouse today to go ask the judge if I could have, you know, can I have some of the chocolate puddings in there that you said I can't have till after whatever? You know what I mean? I was here at the church, and one of the moms was sitting here, and the little boy said, can I have some of this bread? She had a loaf of bread there, and she's like, yes. He came to Mommy for bread. We come to Daddy for bread. We come to Mommy. We come to God for our needs like a father. We come. Are you tracking with me?
Yes.
Right? We don't send our kids to a courthouse to ask for our needs like that. You know what I mean? The judge would be like, go ask your mom and dad. Get out of the courtroom. Can I have some carne asada today? I'm talking about carne asada a lot, man. I don't know. I think I already know what I want for lunch. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, we come to God, and he says he provides all our needs, right? But in context, we come to him as father because you're a loving father and I'm a son or I'm a daughter, how you're approaching him, and these are my needs, and he said, I'll meet your needs. But there's some things that are judicial. There's some things that are, you go to a courtroom over. You know what I mean? You can't go to mom and, okay, let me use another example. Say that you had an inheritance and your inheritance, Lauren's got an inheritance, and the inheritance is being blocked. And so your grandparents gave you this property and you have this property. You could go to mom and dad and say, Mom and dad, I have this inheritance, but the property's being blocked. They'd say, go to the judge and get an order and get that thing kicked into motion. It's yours. We need to learn how to go to him as judge sometimes. To say, there's something that's mine, it's legally mine, and it's being blocked. In South Africa, we go to this, we have a missions base in South Africa, we minister at a lot. There was some land there in the shanties by Dries' place, and there's, I forget how many acres, about, because they're hectares, but it's about a 10 acre that I could see plot. There's all these squatters that came onto the land. The owner of the land wasn't present. all these squatters got on the land. That person died. He gave the inheritance to his kids. The kids came on the land. At that point, there were 6,000 squatters from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe, from all these displaced people from these governments and conflicts in their nations. They got, I mean, some of them went, they made it through Kruger Park without getting eaten by the lions to escape to South Africa. And they're squatting on this land. They have no papers. They have nowhere to go. Are you tracking? The kids said, we want you all off our land. This is our inheritance. The government came in and said, we aren't even going to be able to move them. There are 6,000 people. What are we going to do with them? Government didn't do anything for them. They just gave it up. Now there's over 12,000 people in the shanties. And I think Summit, we're going to impact that area. I'm believing that the orphanage that feeds the kids out of that slum is horrible. And those kids in that orphanage, I'm believing we're going to create jobs for them. And I have a whole plan for a future for those kids. We minister in that orphanage. Darren's been in that orphanage. Randy's been in that. Randy did an altar call in that orphanage. People have been there before. I'm believing something's going to happen. But that land had, somebody had a legal judicial right to that land, and that government would do nothing to allow them to get their inheritance. Are you with me? Okay, there's times when you need to go to God as judge to say, I have an inheritance. And this is what I'm talking about, zeroing in on your future. There's a time when you have a future. You have a future. God's given you. Joseph, he's created you for some things for the body of Christ. That's yours. And so you have to be able to go to God as judge and say, this is messed up, and I'm not going to be passive anymore. This is mine. I was created for this. This is what you've told me. You've said it. And you with me? And God as a judge can step in, and there's precedent for it in Scripture. I want to look at some precedent in Scripture. I want to take you to some practicals and end with a few steps on how you can practically get those things. The other thing is, come on, Ray, you can do this for your kids. You can come in and you can do it for your kids where you're praying over their future and destiny because you know what it is. Huh? Yes. Come on. You can pray over your kids, Cecilia, Ralph. You can pray over your kids and say, I got an issue with my kids, because you know you could stand up before the judge for your children, right? Daniel did it for a nation, didn't he?
Yes.
So he did it because, and that was for a nation's future. So we're going to look at some of these things. I'm probably getting ahead of myself. I'm excited I finally get to preach this. I didn't think I was going to get to preach it. It's kind of exciting. So, so how are we asking? This is what happened. Teresa and I just want to go personal for a minute. Teresa and I sold the house we were living in and felt like God said, sell it, sell it, sell it now. And I didn't do that before, and we lost a bunch of money and you know how the markets go. So I sold my house, moved up my family into an apartment. I'm in an apartment. I haven't been in an apartment in decades. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm living in an apartment. Sorry if you live in an apartment, but I'm just saying when you've lived in your own home, you have your stuff, and now I'm in an apartment. It's been awkward. And but the market peaked, and I was expecting the 7-year cycle to hit, and I was going to buy, and all the strategy, like, it's, you know, since the history of our state, even in the Depression, we've had a cycle. It's been cyclical. And so I'm following all this, trying to be a good steward. It's been almost two years we've been in an apartment. I'm done with living in an apartment, walking up 3 flights of stairs, only getting the groceries you can carry up the stairs. You know, every day I'm like, I don't want a carload because I have to go up and down, you know. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I'm just being real. Can I be real? Well, we've been looking at places, but it's like ridiculous. I'm like, I'm not buying in the peak of the market. I'm not. This is ridiculous. And so we looked at land, took us like a while to agree on a piece of property. It sold. Then we found a short sale. Awesome. We're in a short sale. The lady from the short sale just decides at the last minute, I'm not going to sell it to you. I decided not to sell. And I'm all excited because now we're getting a house under market. I can do that in the peak, so I'm released. Seriously, my realtors in the room, I know there's several realtors in the church, but Venus, you're awesome. She's one of the top real estate agents in the nation. And I give credit to you because you're awesome. And she had a huge thing to play in this, but God did some miracles. The first miracle was basically I quit. I was faithless. I don't know if it was the night before or that morning, but I told Teresa, and I wasn't nice. I just said, I don't want to talk about a house. I don't want to look at land. I don't want to look at another picture. Like, I was done. You know what I mean? I'm done. I had a short sale. We're going to come in here. I'm going to have this equity. I can do this. I'm going to do this unit. You know, I'm thinking like steward. I'm a steward. I quit. I basically was done. And all of a sudden, I don't know, one of the internet sites of the many things, boom, bounces up this house. And then I go, oh my goodness. I said, you're going to want to look at this, what I told Teresa. I said, look at this. It's only 3 miles away from the church. It's got everything she wants. Matter of fact, Teresa, I got to admit, this woman's a woman of prayer. She had almost everything on her prayer list she's been calling out on this house. She showed me her prayer list, and I'm like, I don't think that way. I'm like different. I'm like, I'm buying it under market. I want a deal. I want to get a short sale. I want to get, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not buying something that's at the peak of the market. I'm, anyway. So anyway, I go, you're going to want to see this. It was listed 105, I think, under market. And I show her, but it needs work. But I hand it to her. Everybody and their brother is going crazy trying to bid after this house. And I had to go into the courts of heaven, I believe, to learn a lesson so I could preach this sermon. And I believe going into the courts of heaven loosed it. And having a realtor who's like the top, what are you, the eighth in the nation or something? Seventh in the nation or something? Ninth top realtor of the nation. Would you just stand up? I just want to say I love you so much. Please, Venus Doan, you're awesome. Thank you. And I know there's other realtors, and I love you. She was with me on my missions trip. If she wasn't with me in Africa when all that happened, I wouldn't have even got it. I mean, God did miracle after miracle for this house to happen. But I got to tell you, I'm not those people. I'm not one of those guys who like goes to bed and worries and doesn't sleep. I hit the bed, Napoleon. I sleep. I hit the bed, I sleep. I work hard. I hit the bed, I sleep. I wake up, and I wake up. I mean, like, I sleep. I didn't get 5 hours sleep for, like, a night for, I don't know, somewhere from May until July 28th, I slept a six-hour night. Every day, every night. I'd wake up at 3, I'd wake up at 4, and I'd wake up and I'd go in the living room. It's not the devil wake-up calls like we do when we come off missions trips and there's, you know, demons tormenting you or, you know what I mean? It wasn't those times, Sherry can relate, you know, when they're praying witchcraft. I would be awake and sometimes God would give me a revelation, but this wasn't really a revelation. He was wooing me into the courts and asking me to come in when my brain was still and I wasn't juggling 50 plates every day all the time. That's my life. But he would wake me so I could go in the still and go into the courts of heaven and just go in. And I had to learn lessons in the courts of heaven. I had to learn lessons that you can go into the courts of heaven by faith. You don't have to see an angel. You don't have to have a visitation. You don't have to. We are people of faith. We can go into the courts of heaven in prayer and say, Father, I come in as a son, but I come and recognize you as judge. I recognize Jesus as my advocate, and this is what I need. And we can make prayers, and we can declare those things. I was telling some people, I said, I think I've been good about using the blood of Jesus cancels out the case against us and the accuser's accusations. And I think I've been good during the years, and we've been taught to come in and to tear down by the blood of Jesus, but I haven't been good at presenting my case. When I was a little kid, my mom asked me, she said, what do you want to be? I said, I either want to be an architect, wherever Trey is. I want to be an architect or I want to be a lawyer. You know, I want to be a builder or a lawyer. Well, the architect builds, you know, like I can just shut my eyes and picture like what's here. I could tell you the structures and, you know, like building the house. I'm like in my zone thinking of building. And, you know, I look at things and go, that was built poor and played this and that. And Teresa's like, I could care less, but I'm entertaining you. Or I wanted to be a lawyer. And I was a builder, but I was on the other end of the architects in the office. I was out there doing the hard work. but anyway, not that that's not hard. I had to experience the courtroom. And I got to tell you this. Can I just be real with you? Robert came in here, and Robert Henderson is like an awesome guy, and his book is awesome. But he laid it out on the table. Can I tell you something? As humans, what you don't understand, you reject. And people can lay out a great sermon. If you don't understand it, you're going to reject the truths in that sermon and they're not going to find their way home. That's what Jesus talked about the seed. He said some seed hit the ground and some seed the birds of the air took it and ate it. But because of lack of understanding, the devil took the word. So if you get the seed on the ground and you don't understand it and understanding doesn't come, he takes the word. I can preach, but if we don't spend time for understanding, some people are like, you know, you need to wow me with these great revelations. If the people don't understand the word, it's useless. You can have 5 people that understand it and 95% that don't. You've got to bring understanding. So I'm sorry I'm taking a little bit of time, but I just want to tell you, some of you heard this awesome thing. And then, like, I wanted to preach it, but I learned it in my head. I didn't learn it by experience and walking it out. And that's what I needed. So I just want to ask you a few questions. How do we handle prayers that hold us back from our destiny? How, like Daniel praying for the destiny of a nation, like Nehemiah praying for that the nation's destiny. How about Noah standing for all of humankind and interceding and standing and being someone who would stand through all that? How do we do that? You know, and you may say, well, I'm not an intercessor. I'm not like the, you know, Polly and the intercessors who hit the teams and they just can pray. And like, I'm a, you know, we're all different in members, but we all have a prayer life. We all need to learn how to go into the courts of heaven. Hebrews 11:13 in the ESV says, these all died not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. I want to ask you, how many will, when we die, how many of us will die without fulfilling our assignments? How many assignments are in this room right now to change the world? And how many of us will fulfill them? And how many will be left on the table so as to say, and let's not leave anything on the table. How about we don't? How about we don't leave the unanswered prayers to the best of our ability? Let's get those prayers answered. Let's kick those things into motion. Let's get there and just not have to say, my kids are having to fulfill what I didn't. And they will, because no word of God will come back empty. And someone's going to pick it up and run with it. But I'd rather pick up and run with the people who haven't ran with their words. I want to fulfill my destiny and anything God wants to give. And I want to see you fulfill your destiny. That's our whole job, is that we will bring you to that place where you will impact the world. Now, some prayers need to go unanswered, right? Come on, you were praying to marry somebody. But I was, if I'm praying to marry somebody, I'm like, I'm glad all those prayers weren't answered because I got the best right here. You know, some prayers need to go unanswered. Some jobs you wanted to be and that company's not in existence and you're like, thank you, God, I'm not working for them because I would have got, you know, some prayers need to go unanswered, but there's prayers that we know are for our destiny that they need to be answered. So in Luke 18, we laid this out before, and he talks about how Jesus lays a parable that in Luke 18:1, he said that men ought always ought to pray and not lose heart. And then he said there was a certain, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God or regard man. And then he talks about the widow that comes to that judge. And then he says in verse 6, and he says, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? He wasn't saying I'm like that judge. He was saying I'm contrasting to that judge. He loves us and he loves us so much. And he will avenge them speedily. And I tell you, God loves you and he will stand for you. And you can go to the courts of heaven and see results. Number one is I want to talk about examples of shifting unanswered prayers. Daniel, he sees the courts of heaven in Daniel 7. He says, I looked and thrones were set in place and the Ancient of Days took his seat and his clothing. Can you imagine seeing that? Like, can I just encourage you on this? You don't have to see like Daniel. You don't have to be a seer to go into the courts of heaven. You can go in by faith. You don't. I love those who are telling me they've seen angels. I've seen things, but I might not see them at the point that some people who is a seer. That doesn't mean you don't have access. All of us have access to the courts of heaven. Somebody say, I have access. Amen. You have access. So I go in by faith. And sometimes on those mornings, I would wake up and I'm like, why am I awake, God? I'm wide awake. I woke up. I'm wide awake. I've been doing this every day. I'm not tired during the day. I know it's supernatural, but I don't know what's going on. Please help me, God. And one time I went into the courts and by faith, I just said, well, I'm just going to go into the courts because there's no revelation sitting here. I tried the worship. I'll worship and get revelation. But none of that was flowing. I mean, I had a great worship set. Sometimes sit there for 2 hours just worshiping in the dark. Awesome. Great stuff. But I'm like, I'm missing something. Something's supposed to come out of this. You're not waking me up so I can sit here and worship early. I can worship without waking up. And then I went into the courts by faith. And when I went into the courts, I heard things. And it was really, and it brought breakthrough. And God wants us to go in by faith. Daniel's praying, not passive, but he's praying for the destiny of life. He's fasting, he's praying. In Daniel 9, he says, oh Lord, you brought your people out of the land of Egypt with your mighty hand. And as he starts to pray, he says in 16, oh Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray. Well, you could say he's the Old Testament and we're New Testament. Why are you bringing up Daniel? This is the same thing we do. Daniel's saying, not by my righteousness, but by your righteousness. When you pray in the courts of heaven, you're not going in there going, I'm in here fighting for Milo because of my righteousness. You're the righteousness of God in Christ because Christ died for you. Come on, Marcia, you can go in and say, not because I'm the best mom, but because Jesus died for me, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I can stand in the courts and say, Father, I'm here to petition for my son. He has a destiny. He has a future. And I'm asking you right now to shut the mouth of the accuser. I'm asking you to rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I'm asking you right now to send my advocate, put him in motion. And I'm standing here because, like Paul said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Paul, he was an assistant to murder. Paul had Christians jailed. Paul had all kinds of stuff he was messed up. But he knew it wasn't his righteousness. He knew it was the right. He was the righteousness of God in Christ. We stand in the new covenant like that. But Daniel's language, it points all to where we are today. And he's praying and he's saying, not because of my righteousness, but because of yours, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, and your holy mountain. Daniel was also had revelation of God's prophecies, and he was praying for that 70-year period. He was praying for this to end, knowing with the knowledge and the research of what happened, why they were exiled, and he was praying according to a prophetic word of God. We'll talk about that at the end. And then he says, hear the prayer of your servant. And his supplication. And then he goes on and he prays down. And he says, incline your ear, open your eyes, see our desolation. And he repeats this. He repents and he asks to take away the accuser's voice. He's saying, silence the accuser's voice. And we do this with the blood of Jesus. Daniel presents his case to the courts of heaven. And as he's praying and confessing his sins, while he's still in prayer in Daniel 9:21, it says, while I was still speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, who I had seen in a vision at the beginning, began to fly swiftly. He reached about me about this time, about the evening offering. And Daniel has an encounter with an angel, and he informed me and he talked to me, saying, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill and understanding. Now, the courts of heaven will give you skill and understanding. Now, this is where I needed to go to the courts. I needed understanding to know what to pray because I'm praying like we need this house. And this, I'm believing this house is mine. She's already picking color. She's already decorating it. Come on, Venus. We're on a missions trip. I'm trying to be on a missions trip, but this is ours. I know it's mine, and I'm going into the courts, and I'm saying, this is mine, but I need wisdom on how and what to pray inside the courts. And as I went in and acknowledged the court and acknowledged my advocate. Jesus, our advocate, right? I'm getting ahead of my notes. I had to go in and appeal to my advocate that he stand for me. Are you with me? And then I heard wisdom in the courts. He gave me wisdom. He said, this is what you need to pray. And I'm like, got it. And started to pray that prayer. And then things start kicking into motion. Are you with me? So we got to go into the courts because in the courts you'll gain understanding and wisdom. Sometimes I just go in there and go in the courts and pray. I didn't know what to do. I just pray in the spirit. And until I got a download, I didn't know what to pray. And I spoke my position as a son. And then I went in, and when I was in the courts, I started to war with things. So Randy Clark's, where our church is under Randy Clark's association as well. We're under three different association of churches, Bill Johnson, Randy Clark, and Papa Cheon. So we're with these associations. They sent us a prophecy at the beginning of the year saying, this year we see you're supposed to be in a house this year. So I'm saying we're supposed to be in a house. It's the peak of the market. I'm thinking, no, we're going to wait till the market goes down before the interest rate goes up. We're going to get it right at the slump, slam it, get it in the sweet spot. This is what we're doing. I have my brilliant strategy. God's smarter than me. God prophesies, you're getting it this year. And I'm like, okay, Trump got elected. Everything shifted. If I'd already had a house, if it would have been different, our economic situation was different. I'm trying to watch the economic to respond, and God's got the supernatural going. Yes. He prophesies to us. So I go to the courts of heaven and say, your servant, Randy Clark, they prophesied to us that we'd be in a house. At Bethel, they prophesied on the prophetic team in Bethel we'd be in a house. They saw, we ended up getting a house on a golf course. They saw the golf course, said, I see a golf course. I'm thinking, I care less about being on a golf course. I want to see the mountain. You know, I'm Summit. I'm serious. This is me. I'm like, I want to see wilderness. I want to look at a mountain. You know, and she's like, golf course? She's from Florida. She got me into golf. And she's like, I could deal with a golf course. You know what I'm saying? So they have prophecies of Natalie here in the church said, I see a golf cart, you know, a year ago. Prophesies, I see a golf path that golf carts sit on. Well, right over my back wall, there's a golf path. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going in. We can complain about our situation and say, oh, this is what's happening. These people are opposing me. These people are opposing me. Complaining is not going to get anything done. Complaining about your situation, in complaining in prayer, it's not going to get anything done. When your prayers are hindered, you got to go in and bring your case. And Moses appeals to God and he says, Lord, I've seen these people, and indeed, it's a stiff-necked people, Exodus 32. And the Lord said to Moses, this is God, I've seen these people, and indeed, it's a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn against them, that I may consume them, and I'll make you a great nation. God basically is saying, Mo, I'm going to wipe them all out, and I'll just make you a great nation. Me and you, Mo, we'll handle this thing. And Moses is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Moses starts to console God, and you're thinking, what? Moses is like, he goes into the judicial side with God and starts to present a case to God. Hello, somebody. He says, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? And why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them and kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn your face from wrath and relent this harm from your people. Then he says, so he builds a case to God. God, why would you let him look at you like this? I found myself in the courts of heaven saying, I'm your child. I'm sitting here in Africa. We're ministering. I don't have time to be back there. You need to go handle this stuff, and you need to step into gear. And I wasn't rude to God. I'm sorry I might be sounding loud now. I was very humbled, but I was saying, I am your son. I am your servant. You need to kick it in motion, and you need to, and I wasn't, I don't even know if I said you need. I was saying, I need you to help push this in motion. And I went after everything I could think of. I forgave that lady and forgave that lady. Come on, Venus. I forgave that lady and forgave that lady that was opposing, doing everything she could. Not this lady. This lady was on my side. I'm saying the other, yeah, there was a whole thing on the other side that was not right. But he said, then Abraham said, your servant who you swore that I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the earth. So Moses reminded him, saying, their descendants, well, you know, he's reminding God of his word. We need to remind God of his word. Yes. And he relented from his harm, which he said he would do to his people. Moses appealed to God on the basis of his mercy. Moses appealed on the basis of the promises of God. Those, get that. We appeal to God on the basis of his mercy. We appeal to God based on God's promise. So what's being held up? What's being held up for your kids? What promises aren't being fulfilled? What inheritances are you not inheriting? What prophecies need to be fulfilled that have been prophesied over your life? And you may have already given up, like me that morning. I gave up. I don't know if it was the night before or the morning. I just said, I give up. Remember I told you, I said, I don't even want to hear about another house. I don't want to talk about another house. Don't show me another picture. And then that app pops it up on my computer, and I'm like, you're going to want to see this, honey. Humble. God's probably laughing in heaven going, you know, she's got more faith than you right now. So now you get to go to her and tell her she might want to look at this. She's awesome. Anyway, so number two is Jesus is our advocate. John 2, 1 and 2, it says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Sometimes what the devil does is he says, you sinned, so you have no right in the courtroom. You sinned, you have no right to petition. You sinned, so you have no rights in the courts. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, in the courtroom. And because he forgave my sins, I approached the courtroom. God, you're my Father, but you're the judge. Jesus, you're my advocate. He died for me. His blood has cleansed me, and I can enter the courtroom based on his merit. He is my advocate. He's not only my representative, I only can stand here based on what he has done. And based on what he has done, I can stand in the courts. Are you with me? I have a right to be in the courts. But if the devil convinces you you have no rights, if he keeps telling you what you did wrong instead of what Jesus did right, you won't even approach God. Can I tell you right now? More things, they don't even, we lose more cases because we are a no-show in court. Don't show up, devil wins. We don't even show up. Don't even build an argument. Don't even represent yourself. Don't let Jesus represent you. Just be a no-show. And there's a bunch of no-show Christians. That's why we're talking about being a stand-up man. We need to stand up. And a stand-up woman. So, and the good news is Jesus is our attorney. Come on, somebody. Not only is Jesus my attorney, I have a good Jewish attorney. Can I tell you some more good news? His daddy's the judge. My that's right. My attorney is the son of the judge. There's a relationship here. You have an in the courts. It's only when the devil tries to tell you and rob you of identity that you don't go into the courts. So we need to know who we are. We need to enter the courts. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. That's Jesus. Jesus paid not only the price to be our advocate, but to represent us. Hebrews 7:25 says that he always lives to make intercession. Intercession is a legal thing. Intercession means he stands in the gap and he did better for me in that courtroom, but I believe me, I appealed. And I'm asking you to appeal. I'm asking you not to give up. Don't give up. If you gave up, just get back in. If you gave up, I can't remember if it was the morning or the evening, but I literally was so exasperated, I just gave up. I had a short sale, and I thought for sure, okay, I can work with this after a year and a half, more, a year and three quarters. This is going to work. And it fell through, and I gave up. I was so discouraged. I was like, but God knew. And whether that was supposed to be mine, and this is even better, it's even better. You know, she's happy. And happy wife, happy life. You know? But I got to tell you, you have to go in and tear down the accusations in the courtroom because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelations 12:11 says, they overcame by the blood, say by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We enter the court and we say, I can enter the court not because I can swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I enter the courts because Jesus Christ died for me. And he has forgiven me, and because of the blood of Jesus, I have permission to stand in the courts of heaven, in the throne of heaven, but I can stand in the courts. And because of the blood, you can silence the accuser. And I had to go in the courts and say, silence the accuser, because this is what they're saying about me. Silence the accuser. You get to go in the courts for your children and say, silence the accuser over them. You get to go in and say, this business is moving forward and someone's coming against it. Silence my accusers, oh God. And I went in and God told me, and he gave me a strategy, and I used the word. He said, I want you to pray the word. And I said, God, you said you'd cause my enemies to be at peace with me. So I stand in the courts of heaven, and I started not only forgiving this lady. I said, she is acting like an enemy. I say, you said you'd cause my enemies to be at peace with me. Cause her to be at peace with me. And there was a bunch of other strategies that I went in. He said to do this and that. And there was some spirits of greed and spirits of pride. And I said, turn her pride against it and make her close the deal on this date based on her pride. I got wisdom in the courts where it was almost like when I went in, God said, do this. And I went, oh, how didn't I think of that before? And it's like, because he gives us revelation. And then I asked for the advocate to step up and to do what I asked. And that's how it finally we went into the final. Now, you could say this is all circumstantial. No. No, I don't think so. You don't do that. You don't walk into a house with a bunch of equity in it in the midst of a high market. You know, you're a great realtor and I love you, but God, she recognized with us on this mission trip. God did it. All those people competing and we beat them all out. And it's like David and Goliath. They all had cash buyers. They had this, they had that. How did we do all that? God and the courts of heaven. And I had to learn that lesson. I'm asking you to not have to go through it to learn it, but you need to go into the courts of heaven with what it is that's hindering you. That's part of my destiny and future, that just to get my family secure. And I'm asking you today, what part of your destiny? I've been in the courts of heaven over our missions. I'm in the courts of heaven over our church. I'm in the courts of heaven over you business men and women. I'm going in and calling out the blessing over your businesses. I'm calling blessing over your lives. I'm doing it over our children, but we can have a concentrated effort where we come in and use those strategies. Now, if you say, well, I don't fully understand this. When we don't understand, we reject it. So Pastor Talon D, the whole supernatural school, this is so crazy too. I didn't even know. When does it start? Starts tomorrow. What's the topic? Courts of Heaven. If you don't understand this, tomorrow night they start a whole series and you're going to give it to them all for free on this one. So the school is free tomorrow and all these classes on the Courts of Heaven. It's how many weeks is that one? About 6 weeks on the Courts of Heaven. If you didn't grasp it, don't just throw it away. Go and learn about it and absorb it. And what you understand, you won't reject it. So you can come in for 6 weeks, Courts of Heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Went to the Courts of Heaven, my daughter Karen. She was looking for a job. We wanted her to come back, but God's going to keep her in Arizona. So she wanted $65,000. And so about 5 months ago, we went to the Courts of Heaven, and God restored her to her full identity, put a white robe on her of righteousness, and he showed me a vision, her turning around with it on. And guess how much they offered this job for? $94,000.
Come on, God answered Daniel's prayer. He answered Moses' prayer. We could go on and on. Nehemiah, Noah. Noah went through some serious humiliation in order to bring to pass, but in the end, all heaven applauds him. Sometimes the most lonely people are those people that are called to step out when everybody says it's not going to work and it'll work. And sometimes it is over your family where it's real practical, but I'm just saying, whatever side of the spectrum, some great testimony about our kids. But from our personal thing, from our kids, to a business thing with our business, to a humanity where you're saving souls, whether it's a nation discipling, it works for all those things. Would you stand with me today? It works. I'm asking you to go to the courts. I'm asking you, if you don't understand the courts, go to the classes. If you can't get to all the classes, at least get the concept, get the book. Don't let it go. Don't just say, I'm not leaving my destiny on the table. I'm not leaving my future, because other people's lives are affected by that. And God, he's about saving the whole world. There's destinies waiting on the other end of every single one of our function. Together we cause the growth of this body. Every one of you is just as important. So I pray right now for you and for your future. I pray that you would get a revelation. I pray you would gain understanding. And if you didn't grasp it, I grabbed the concept, but I really didn't have a practical application. That then I learn better when I get that. I know I'm not praying right now, but I learn better once I see it in action, once I watched it, then now I can apply it everywhere. And I pray that you get it and get results that you then turn around and use over and over and over and over. I pray this become a tool in your toolbox. I pray it becomes a recipe for your destiny. I pray, God, that you would take it and let it become not something that falls by the wayside, but a word that's practical. Because God loves you and we love you. And I want to see your destiny. I want to see your families, your marriages. I want to see your children's successes. I want to see the world that we're called to impact it. It's a bigger picture than us, and it's about eternity. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I pray with your heads bowed, if you're here and you say, the only way you can start that, the only way you can start to change your future is to deal with your present. If you're here and you say, I don't have that relationship, I can't go in based on what Jesus did because I've not asked him to forgive my sins, now's the time to ask him to forgive your sins. Now's the time. I tell this story over and over. I went to work every day with a guy who died on the job site. I carried his body off the job. He fell through the deck and died on the convention center when we were building San Diego Convention Center. And every day he had a choice to turn, and he never turned. He cussed like a sailor. He had no clue he had any Christian roots at all. And don't be the guy that walked away that could have. Every day he drove to work with a preacher, another guy, and appealed to him, and he never repented. I'm asking you, don't be the guy that, or the girl that doesn't repent. All repent is a change on thinking where we say, God, I'm going to serve you and live for you. I choose to receive the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for me. So if you're with your head bowed, if you're here and you say, I want to go to heaven, I don't have to understand it, but I want to, and I've never asked Jesus to forgive my sins, if that's you, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Just quickly raise it and put it back down. I just want to see if that's who I'm praying with. Amen. 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 And if you're here and you say, I've asked Jesus to forgive my sins, but I kind of feel like I've gone off the track, I want to get back on the track, if that's you, with everybody's head bowed, please don't look around. Just raise your hand. Amen. And just say, that's me right here. Amen. Amen. Now just pray this prayer with me. And at the end of the service, there'll be a prayer team up here. I would encourage you to go up and tell one of them that you prayed that prayer. If you're praying for the first time, they'll help give you some materials and direct you some good advice on what to do next. If it's a rededication, it's still good to tell somebody what God did. But pray this prayer with me and say, Father, oh, I love you. Thank you for your son. I do believe the gospel. I do believe Jesus was crucified, that he died, that he was buried, but I believe he rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive my sins. I believe I'm forgiven, and I receive forgiveness from this day. Now listen to this. I pray right now in Jesus' name that the accuser be silenced, and that every one of your past sins does not have a voice back into your life. And that every time the devil comes and says you're not forgiven, you can come back and say, nope, on that Sunday morning, I prayed. And as I prayed, the devil, my sins were forgiven. And Jesus' blood has covered me. And you have no voice against me. And I just silence that voice. I will not operate under condemnation anymore. And I just bless you to grow. I bless you to be blessed. I bless you to excel. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, there's a prayer team up here. If you need prayer, come on up. Give God a little praise if you enjoyed it. God, he's so good. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.